This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and still a great nation despite the fact that the level of crime, the level of violence, the level of chaos in the country, people still reeling from the devastating attack in Waukesha, Wisconsin on Sunday night before Thanksgiving. There are more than 10 children who are still in intensive care, some of them struggling for their lives after having been run over in an attack. And then what is going on in the Bay Area of San Francisco, and officials are worried it's going to spread to the rest of the country, these smash-and-grab robberies in shopping malls and of retail establishments, and, of course, the ongoing homeless crisis with parks and public spaces and America's biggest cities confronting a situation that seems to get worse and worse and worse with no hope. So who do you turn to? You turn inevitably to police. You turn inevitably to law enforcement to try to restore order, to try to enhance and restore security. And in that regard, there's a very, very important book just published. The book is called Black in Blue, Lessons on Leadership, Breaking Barriers, and Racial Reconciliation. The author is Carmen Best, who many of us who live in Seattle came to admire greatly during her service as the first female of color who was a police chief in our city. Chief Best, congratulations on the book and doing a great job highlighting some of the issues facing the country.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me here. I definitely appreciate it, and definitely appreciate your show.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate that back at you. Let me ask you first off, there's a complete panic, it appears now, in the Bay Area about these attacks by groups of people, 40, 50 people. If you were to confront that as a police chief, and God forbid it should happen here, but it could, if you were to confront that as a police chief, how would you do it?
Yeah, well, I can tell you, I know the chief there, and I'm sure that they are looking at all measures to, one, identify the perpetrators, and do some target hardening as well. You know, there are pretty much cameras everywhere anymore, any place that you go. So being able to identify who's involved, obviously looking at any other measures of the environment that might be enticing people or allowing people to come in, and then putting increased, patrols and others out to make sure that we can maintain public safety or safety at these venues is going to be incredibly important. You know, the truth of the matter is somebody knows something, and when you have large groups like that, you're likely to find it to pick off at least one or so where you can get additional information. But these things, unfortunately, do happen on occasion and crop up in different areas, you know, drug rings or theft rings and what have you.
Okay, in terms of your job in Seattle, it was maybe faced its most critical moment during the summer of unrest, where we had here the CHAZ situation, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. What lessons can people across the country, and it's part of what you write about in Black in Blue, your book, what lessons can people take away from your experience dealing with that situation?
You know, thank you for asking that question, and thank you for raising the fact that I do talk about this in the book, Black and Blue. You know, there are some lessons learned in terms of the main lesson, obviously, from my perspective, is that you really can't allow lawlessness to occur, and that people left unchecked you know, there will be, you know, crimes that are committed. Initially, as I noted, you know, things, you know, this Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone and the Capitol Hill organized protest, there wasn't that level of violent crime from the very beginning. But as things progressed, they got progressively worse, and it became, you know, self-evident that we actually needed to take really strong measures to eradicate the area of the Capitol Hill organized protest.
Do you have an idea, because your book covers a lot of subjects, but it focuses rightly and understandably on Seattle. While all this was going on in our city, down the road in Portland, things were enormously worse. Why?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I would say that they were worse. I don't know if I would put the adjective enormously in front of it, but I think they had a difficult time as well, and additionally even more issues that cropped up. You know, this Pacific Northwest area really had a lot to address and deal with during what we call that period of unrest, as you called it, from last summer. And, you know, we were often talking, myself and the Portland chief, about, you know, how to address some of these issues that we both were confronting within our city, and the devastating impact it was having both on public safety and on the men and women working for the departments who were dealing with this day in and day out.
And one of the things that you were noted for as chief, and this comes across in the book Black and Blue as well, was standing up for your officers, who in return showed you great support. Homelessness is a very visible, unmistakable, and deeply disturbing crisis in our city and in cities across the country. Do police have a role in coping with that?
Yeah, you know, I think that there is a role. You know, homelessness is such a broad, you know, topic. But, you know, major cities across the country are dealing with people who are living outside of unsheltered people. There's that intersection of, you know, public health, mental health, addiction, public safety. And so there needs to be a strategy that involves, I would say, a number of entities to get further upstream of some of those issues. But additionally, in my experience, particularly here in Seattle, where we had a number of encampments, while there are people who are very vulnerable, there were also people who were preying on those vulnerable folks. So we had issues of trafficking, we had homicide, we had assaults, we had guns being sold. And so there was a whole mix of things. So there definitely is a role for people to be involved in encampments in that regard. But additionally, working with social service workers and others to really help people who are in many cases, quite a dire mental health situation and need services. I mean, I walked out there myself and I saw it for myself, and there was a little bit of everything mixed in there.
Well, there is. Is it achievable or even worth talking about to go back to the idea where people are simply not allowed to sleep in public parks?
Well, you know, I think that part of the argument there is that we have to make sure that there is a place for them to be. And I would say that as long as we have appropriate facilities for people to go to where they don't have to be outside and unsheltered, then we should make sure that we're doing that so that we can, you know, maintain the safety of the public spaces where people are camping and staying. So I know that's been one of the concerns, at least from the advocacy side, is that, hey, well, where are they going to go? So my answer to that is we really have to invest the dollars in providing, you know, functional spaces for people in these situations. I think it's a humane thing to do. That said, you know, if those spaces are provided and they choose not to, well, then they're making a choice. And we learned long ago that, you know, we have to abide by our choices, right?
Absolutely. And one choice that I know many people will make in this holiday season is to pick up for themselves or as a gift the new book Black and Blue by one of the most popular and respected public figures in the Seattle area in recent years, Chief Carmen Best. Look for it. Post our website, michaelmedved.com.
More of Michael Medved in a moment. We'll be right back.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
And on the Michael Medved show, there is another milestone, I guess you could say, in the United States concerning our political enlightenment, some people would say. Others would say a stupid obsession with attempting to erase America's past or to judge America's past by the standards of the present, which, of course, a process that can go on endlessly. The report is that the Thomas Jefferson statue. We've talked about it before, and it's a big statue, and it's a handsome statue. It's a 7 foot, 884-pound statue of President Jefferson. And he was a tall guy, particularly for his age, but he was, they estimate, 6'2", not 7 feet, and certainly not 884 pounds. This had been sitting in the New York City Hall for nearly 200 years, and they took it out yesterday. Here is the report from Spectrum News 1, clip 2.
The statue of Thomas Jefferson has been removed from City Hall. Workers took down the statue from the council chambers where it had stood for more than a century. The city's design commission voted unanimously to move it to the New York Historical Society on the Upper West Side. The request for the statue's removal came after complaints it honored a slave owner.
Okay, so the complaints were from members of the city council. Apparently, they have a joint caucus. It is a Hispanic, Asian, and black caucus, and a number of members said they felt uncomfortable doing their public work that they were elected to do with an image of a former slave owner actually staring down at them. Now, of course, they don't know that Thomas Jefferson was the president who ended while he was president the slave trade to the United States, the importation of slaves from Africa. That ended under Jefferson. He had promised he would do it as soon as it was constitutionally permissible to do so, and he did. And he spoke about it in his second inaugural address. The whole idea of going through this kind of argument at this point. The statue is going to be on permanent loan or long-term loan to the New York State Historical Society, but in order to avoid having more controversy with the New York State Historical Society with a statue that, by the way, a copy of which the statue was taken from, it's a plaster version of a bronze statue that is located in the Capitol Rotunda. And it's not going anywhere from the Capitol Rotunda. At least, but I guess people would have said that about this statue beforehand. I do not understand what is accomplished by this. Because, again, it's very different with Robert E. Lee or with Jefferson Davis. Because one of the questions that I think it's reasonable to ask on any of these disputes or controversies is, okay, how do you explain it? How do you explain it to a smart kid? I'm not talking to a three-year-old who would have no grasp, but a smart kid, say somebody who's 10, who looks up and sees a statue of a famous person and says, "Who's that?" Okay, and then as an informed parent or some companion or an uncle or school teacher, you say, "Well, that's Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States. He's the man who wrote our Declaration of Independence. He did more than any other American to establish religious liberty, which is one of the things he did even back when he was governor of Virginia." And, there's a lot that Jefferson did that you can talk about. And by the way, the idea that he established religious liberty, the statue initially was a gift from Commodore Uriah Levy, who was the first high-ranking member of the U.S. Navy who was Jewish, and who appreciated the fact that Jefferson made it his life's work to prevent and to combat religious discrimination or any governmental interference with religious liberty. And some of the people who are opposed to moving his statue are opposed to basically discrediting the gift of an American hero. Uriah Levy was a hero of the Civil War. And that's how long this has been going on. But the point is, with Jefferson, or certainly with George Washington, or with many of the other Americans whose statues people have gone after, it's very easy to explain, no, this person isn't here because of slavery. It has nothing to do with slavery. Jefferson was an imperfect human being. But then again, so is every great person. The difference between Jefferson and Jefferson Davis or Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee is particularly striking. If Robert E. Lee had not turned against his country, if he had not committed treason by lifting up arms against the United States of America, and his argument, of course, was his real loyalty, his real country was Virginia, Not the United States. Well, that's not the oath that he took at West Point. That's not the oath that he took when he served in the U.S. Army. But had he not been the leader of a rebellion whose main purpose was to break apart the United States of America, had he not been that leader, no one would have ever heard of him. Sorry, he was a distinguished officer, but the fact that he did well in the Mexican War as a combat engineer, and that he led the army detachment that actually put down the John Brown rebellion in 1859. These would not have led to statues on high pillars or that huge statue in Richmond, Virginia, that they just removed. And so making a distinction between Confederate statues that were, for the most part, and in fact almost entirely, only put up during the era of Jim Crow as part of the Lost Cause myth, that's one thing. But focusing on Thomas Jefferson is something else entirely, and far more questionable. There is more about changes in the way that Americans look at the family. And then, of course, there is the last arguments in the Ahmed Arbery case. How is it so profoundly different in every regard from Kyle Rittenhouse? We'll get to that and more on the Medved.
Every day on the Michael Medved Show.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As gas prices continue to rise, President Biden is taking action.
So today I'm announcing that the largest ever release from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to help provide the supply we need as we recover from this pandemic.
Biden making the announcement as the average price for a gallon of gasoline across the United States is $3.41 a gallon. As far as how this will happen,
I brought together other nations to contribute to the solution. India, Japan, Republic of Korea, and the United Kingdom have agreed to release additional oil from their reserves.
Last month, when Biden was asked about releasing the energy reserves, he said it would only help by about 10 cents a gallon. The administration also asking a federal appeals court to lift the pause on the government's vaccine requirements for large businesses. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Michael Medved show, the case that went to the jury of the accused killers of Ahmed Arbery is extraordinarily different. I mean, people are saying, well, it's more of the same, and again, that some of the issues are the same because they're claiming self-defense are Greg McMichael and Travis McMichael and William Bodie Bryan, who are the three accused. Now, for William Bodie Bryan, who knows? Who knows whether or not that will actually, he will actually be convicted. But I think the other two, who were much more directly involved, Bryan basically was following along, supporting them, and taking video. I think his sentence is more in question. But the idea that these people who were chasing an individual because they suspected him without any real evidence of having gone on to an unauthorized way, a construction site in their neighborhood, that's very different from a young man who was in the middle of a riot and seemed to have no confrontational intentions at all. His desire was, well, that's, we'll hear from Kyle Rittenhouse himself a little bit later in this program. But here was the case that the prosecutor, Linda Donikoski, who was extremely effective, she was very good, she was talking about the three men who were on trial for the killing of Ahmed Arbery and what is really at stake here as the central issue in this case. This is clip five. Listen.
This isn't about whether these three men are good people or bad people. That's not what this is about. It's about responsibility. It's about holding people accountable and responsible for their actions. When they do something like this, They have to be held accountable and responsible. Nobody gets a free pass.
Okay. Is that a principle that every single American can and should agree on? And so what's the kind of answer that Laura Hogue, who was the attorney for Gregory McMichael, the kind of response that she brought up for what was done here, which was killing an unarmed man, chasing him down, running him down, surrounding him by pickup trucks, and then killing him. Here's what Laura Hogue had to say. This is clip four. This is one of the defense attorneys for Gregory McMichael in her closing arguments.
Turning Ahmaud Arbery into a victim after the choices that he made does not reflect the reality of what brought Ahmaud Arbery to Satilla Shores in his khaki shorts with no socks to cover his long, dirty toenails.
And as you'll see, somebody just said, wow. You know why I said that? Because how unbelievably irrelevant and disrespectful that is. Does anyone deserve to be killed because you have long, dirty toenails? Jerry makes a point. That's every teenage boy. Now, Ahmaud Arbery was not a teenage boy. He was in his 20s. But the idea that she would even think to bring that up, do you think that's going to influence a jury? Well, we will soon find out. The jury should be back soon. And again, the one thing about this case, including with the way that it's been handled, is as divisive and dividing as the Rittenhouse case was, I think it came out so clearly, and he's actually helped his own cause by some of his comments in public, particularly on TV last night. We'll get to that. But this case may have the unintended consequence of really uniting Americans with disgust at the people who were trying to make a self-defense plea based on an attack, again, by three people on an unarmed individual with the claim that they were going to make a citizen's arrest. Kyle Rittenhouse was on last night on Fox News on the Tucker Carlson show. And here is what he said that may surprise some people about his agreement with the BLM movement. Listen, this is clip 11.
Why do you think people were burning Car Source? What does that have to do with civil rights?
I don't know. I think it was opportunists taking advantage of the BLM movement. I agree with the BLM movement. I agree everybody has the right to protest and assemble, but I do not agree that people have the right to burn down. I don't appreciate that people are burning down American cities to try to spread their message. I think there's other ways to go around and do that.
Okay, and Car Source was the business that he was there helping to defend, a business that he had worked with. He then goes on to talk about how sickened he is by the polarization surrounding his case. This is clip six.
This is not the life that you planned.
No.
Obviously.
It is far from the life I planned. This is something that I wish never would have happened, but it did, and we can't change that. But how polarized it became is absolutely sickening.
Yeah.
Like, right or left, people using me for a cause that should never have been used as a cause.
And that's why he switched attorneys. His first attorneys had been inclined to use it for a cause, and then he had the fine attorney, Mark Richards, who said, as an attorney, I'm not defending a cause. I'm defending a client. And Rittenhouse then had less admiring words for people like Lynn Wood and John Pierce, who tried to exploit him as the center of a cause. This is clip 12.
I was in jail for 87 days, and this follows in with Lynn Wood, who Lynn Wood was raising money on my behalf, and he held me in jail for 87 days, disrespecting my wishes, put me on media interviews, which I should never have done, which he said, oh, you're going to go talk to the Washington Post, which was not a good idea, along with John Pierce. They said I was safer in jail instead of at home with my family. And then after I'm bailed.
Your lawyer said that.
My lawyer said that. John Pierce and Lynn Wood.
87 days is a long time to be in jail.
It was very long. I lost a lot of weight in there. I since then gained it back.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. But 87 days of not being with my family for defending myself and being taken advantage to, being used for a cause by John Pierce and Lynn Wood, trying to raise money so they can take it for their own benefit, not trying to set me free.
So you think they could have raised the money for bail faster, but they didn't?
I believe sometime in September, September 5th, I want to say, they had over $1 million.
Okay, and this again highlights some of what is wrong with extremes on both the left and the right. We'll get to more on that, plus the father of one of the victims, and with Kyle Rittenhouse, speaks out, getting to that and more on the MedVet Show.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
The Michael Medved show, talking about the continued reaction to the Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal, which was an important, it seems to me, and very instructive outcome to a trial in which he was overcharged. It is very, very difficult to blame Kyle Rittenhouse for the terrible things that happened in Kenosha. What terrible things? Well, one would be the shooting of Jacob Blake, though, again, to say that that was a terrible thing when it's been investigated by federal, state, and local officials, and all of whom believe that Jacob Blake was in the course of constituting a real danger, not just to police officers, but to his own children, who were surrounding him when he withdrew a weapon. And in any event, it's not one of those situations where the police officer was even fired, because the shooting was not some kind of racist abomination. Sorry, it just doesn't qualify. And the idea that you want to somehow blame a young man who very stupidly takes a gun and carries it around, but with intentions basically to turn aside violence, not to commit violence or destruction in his city. But the father of Anthony Huber, who himself has a law-breaking and difficult record in his short life before he was shot by Kyle Rittenhouse, and before he was engaged in a violent confrontation with Kyle Rittenhouse that he did not initiate, that Kyle Rittenhouse did not initiate. This is what Anthony Huber's father says with appearing on television with Joy Reid about the Rittenhouse verdict. This is clip 10. Listen.
We had to relive this all over again. And every time we seen it on TV and every time it was brought up and all these attacks on him and us, those people should be ashamed of themselves. And we feel like we've been raped. We've been raped by half of the country that supported him. And those people should be ashamed of themselves. He's a murderer. That guy is a murderer. He murdered two people and he has two murders on his conscience. And he doesn't have a conscience.
Okay. The idea that Kyle Rittenhouse doesn't have a conscience is seems to be counterindicated by what was a fairly reasonable interview last night. Do I think Kyle Rittenhouse will continue to advance his own return to some kind of normal life? with expressions of remorse and continued expressions of remorse. I think he will do that. I think that is the right thing to do. The other problem, of course, is, and again, this is not to say that Anthony Huber is in any sense right. His son had spent time in prison twice, first for violating probation after strangling his brother, and again for kicking his sister, so reported by the New York Post. And the idea that they were raped as the parents of an innocent victim, there's no question that Anthony Huber was also a participant in the rioting that provoked the entire incident and its unfortunate results. The Rittenhouse attorney, who we've praised on the show before, and I think he deserves it, Mark Richards, was on with Chris Cuomo, who's steering clear of the Andrew Cuomo latest, because the Andrew Cuomo latest means that even in retirement, having been driven out of the governorship, he may be facing impeachment. And with serious charges of repeated sexual harassment. Okay, that's not Chris Cuomo. He was talking with Mark Richards, the defense attorney for successful defense attorney for Kyle Rittenhouse. And here's what he had to say about some of the exploitation by politicians and advocate groups of Rittenhouse's name. This is clip 13.
Those moves by satellites in this situation saying, hey, let's have a Kyle sale until Thanksgiving, a sale on guns because we're celebrating. Or the politicians who have said, oh, I want to give him an internship without knowing anything about the kid, just knowing that he was acquitted. What kind of messages do you think that sends? Do you think that's something that Kyle endorses?
I don't think it's something he endorses. I think it sends a message that certain people are morons. you know, they know that if they say the word Rittenhouse in a provocative manner, people are going to cover it, and they're going to get publicity for it. And maybe amongst some of their constituents, you know, some people refer to it as the base, it's going to advance their cause. It's profiting on a tragedy.
And that's entirely correct. He's referring, of course, to Matt Gaetz, who is one of those people who, it's honestly, if you look at his record of clear wrongdoing and involvement and the thorough investigation that's going on now by the Ethics Committee, Matt Gaetz, the Republican congressman from Florida, saying that he wants to take on Kyle Rittenhouse as an intern, really? Who would want to be an intern for Matt Gaetz? That means that you want to learn to be the kind of public representative he is. I don't think that's the ideal role model. And there was also left-wing and foolish efforts to try to trash Kyle Rittenhouse after the acquittal. For instance, on Stephen Colbert, he ends in a particular position that is fairly bizarre. This is Colbert hitting at Rittenhouse and his acquittal, clip 7.
Big news on Friday was that after being accused of crossing state lines, killing two people, and wounding another last year during a Black Lives Matter protest, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted on all counts. Okay. Yeah, okay, cards on the table. I'm not a legal expert, so I can't tell you whether or not Kyle Rittenhouse broke the law. But I can tell you this. If he didn't break the law, we should change the law.
Okay, no one said here that he didn't break the law. What he didn't do was do the law-breaking with which he was charged, which included deliberate homicide. and which clearly didn't happen. Do you really want to change the law, Stephen Colbert, so that people do not have the right to self-defense? That if you are carrying a gun legally, and it is legal to carry that gun in Wisconsin, and the court even determined they threw out the gun charge against him because the law had been written unclearly about whether it is illegal for a 17-year-old to carry a gun openly. But the truth of the matter is, he was not charged with technicalities, he was charged with murder. And if someone is struggling with a gun that you own, that you are carrying, and trying to take it away from you, and the encounter between the two of you was not initiated by you, it was initiated by the people coming after him, in the case of Anthony Huber and Joseph Rosenbaum, and to some extent Gage Grosskreutz, then obviously it's self-defense, which is a principle, it seems to me, that it is necessary to serve and protect and to defend. Now, this is why this is such an important learning moment, it seems to me, for the whole country. Because, yeah, you can say that the three guys who are on trial for the death, the needless death, the cruel death, the criminal death of Ahmed Arbery, they're saying self-defense too. But it's ridiculous, because self-defense is not just an automatic, oh, well, in that case, you can kill somebody. If you have reason to believe that you are in direct threat yourself of service, suffering death or serious bodily harm, that's what you're talking about. We'll be talking about serious national harm and the Congress of the United States with Congressman Adam Smith and more in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.